Through membership of our Lord's mystical body, the Church, the human race has received back supernatural life, and in proportion as men accept that life, coming as it does from our Lord crucified and risen from the dead, the natural law of persons, families, and nations is restored to order. We must, therefore, work for order in the world along the lines laid down by the Church, sacrificing ourselves in and with her, knowing that here below suffering is unavoidable, and that man's nature is prone to revolt against supernatural life. Each and every one of us is obliged to struggle against the tendencies of the fallen nature received from the first Adam. Listen to Pope Leo XIII. Quote, civil society was renovated in every part by the teachings of Christianity. Of this beneficent transformation, Jesus Christ was at once the first cause and the final end. As from him all came, so to him was all to be brought back. For when the human race, by the light of the gospel message, came to know the grand mystery of the incarnation of the Word and the redemption of man, at once the life of Jesus Christ, God and man, pervaded every race and nation and interpenetrated them with his faith, his precepts, and his laws. And if society is to be healed now, in no other way can it be healed save by a return to Christian life and Christian institutions. And this may be asserted with utmost truth because of the state in general and of that body of its citizens, by far the great majority who sustain life by their labor, end of quote. The communist strivings for a dead level of equality are anti-natural and doomed to failure. The Pope continues, quote, let it then be taken as granted in the first place that the condition of things human must be endured, for it is impossible to reduce civil society to one dead level. Socialists may, in that intent, do their utmost, but all striving against nature is in vain. There naturally exist among mankind differences of the most important kind. People differ in capacity, skill, health, strength, and unequal fortune is a necessary result of unequal condition. Such inequality is far from being disadvantageous either to individuals or to the community. Social and public life can only be maintained by means of various kinds of capacity for business and the playing of many parts, and each man, as a rule, chooses the part which suits his own peculiar domestic condition, end of quote. Labor and toil must be accepted as part of our expiation for sin. Suffering cannot be eliminated. The Garden of Eden will not be given back. There is no possibility of a good time all the time for fallen man. Pope Leo XIII continues, quote, as regards bodily labor, even had man never fallen from the state of innocence, he would not have remained wholly unoccupied. But that which would then have been his free choice and his delight became afterwards compulsory and the painful expiation for his disobedience. Cursed be the earth in thy work. In thy labor thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. In like manner, the other pains and hardships of life will have no end or cessation on earth, for the consequences of sin are bitter and hard to bear, and they must accompany man so long as life lasts. To suffer and to endure, therefore, is the lot of humanity. Let them strive as they may. No strength and no artifice will ever succeed in banishing from human life the ills and troubles which beset it. If any there are who hold out to our hard-pressed people the boon of freedom from pain and trouble, an undisturbed repose and constant enjoyment, they delude the people and impose upon them, and their lying promises will only one day bring forth evils worse than the present. Nothing is more useful than to look upon the world as it really is, and at the same time to seek elsewhere, as we have said, for the solace to its troubles. The Catholic Church and the class war. The class war is opposed both to nature and to the Catholic doctrine of redemption through incorporation into the mystical body of Christ. Every human being is meant to relive the life of Christ, the life of Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Calvary on this level. Pope Leo XIII points out, quote, the great mistake made in regard to the matter now under consideration is to embrace the idea that class is naturally hostile to class, and that the wealthy and the working men are intended by nature to live in mutual conflict. So irrational and so false is this view that the direct contrary is the truth, just as the symmetry of the human frame is the resultant of the disposition of the bodily members, so in a state it is ordained by nature that these two classes should dwell in harmony and agreement, and should, as it were, groove into one another so as to maintain the balance of the body politic. Each needs the other. Capital cannot do without labor, nor labor without capital. Mutual agreement results in pleasantness of life and the beauty of good order, while perpetual conflict necessarily produces confusion and savage barbarity. Now, in preventing such strife as this, and in uprooting it, the efficacy of Christian institutions is marvelous and manifold. First of all, there is no intermediary more powerful than religion, whereof the church is the interpreter and the guardian, in drawing the rich and the poor breadwinners together, by reminding each class of its duties to the other, and especially of the obligations of justice. Thus religion teaches the laboring man and the artisan to carry out honestly and fairly all equitable agreements freely entered into. Doubtless, before deciding whether wages are adequate, many things have to be considered. But wealthy owners and all masters of labor should be mindful of this, that to exercise pressure upon the indigent and the destitute for the sake of gain, and to gather one's profit out of the need of another, is condemned by all laws, human and divine.